WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. Write that number down. Dial it in. Be a part of the show. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, the steaming bag of dog poop.
Is that what we're calling it?
It is the steaming bag of dog poop that is the new healthcare bill passed by the House of Representatives, who should all be taken out and drowned in a sack, yeah. I think. We'll tell you what's in it. None of it's good. None of it's good. Plus, we'll get you caught up on everything that's happening, our favorite things from the past week, the strangest things from the past week, and very exciting show announcement coming up later tonight. Just stick around for that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting show announcement. If you have been a fan of The Big Picture for a long time, you are going to be thrilled by what we've got planned for you this summer. You're just going to be like, oh my God, it's my wildest dream come true. So stick around for that.
Their wildest dream is not to have to hear you. I thought that was it.
It may involve hearing less of me every week, which is a...
That is true. You are taking on a big undertaking, which we, again, will explain. It's so much to talk about tonight.
Oh, my God.
You kind of talked about healthcare. You know, I feel like it's just like Massachusetts. When you have something that is incredibly wrong, that is, you know, federal or state funded, you just change the name, and then it's a brand new thing.
Last refuge of a scoundrel. Changing the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this healthcare bill goes way beyond changing the name. and just, there is a bigger logic behind what's going on here, and it is a bigger logic that should not make anybody happy. Because it points to some significant change that may or may not need to happen in this country, but it is going to be extremely painful change. And we'll break all that down a little bit later. In the meantime, it's been a slow news week, but I'm sure... We can
there
find
is
something.
Never anything going on.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find something to talk about, right, Lisa Nichols?
Well, today in local news, we learned soon online shopping in the Commonwealth may get a little more expensive. Online shopping is a quick and convenient way to beat crowds at the mall with the added perk of no sales tax from out-of-state vendors, but that may soon change. The State Department of Revenue is telling online retailers to start collecting sales tax on Massachusetts purchases starting July 1st. Currently, under the federal law, only retailers that have physical presence of operations in the state can be forced to collect sales tax. The new state policy would intercept online advertising and web browsers and use a software application as a company's physical presence within the state. Governor Charlie Baker's administration hopes to add revenue, which will raise about $30 million for the next fiscal year. Many believe this act will bring immediate legal action against the Baker administration. Quote, this is really pushing the envelope to the extreme. It's creative, aggressive, but ultimately you would not think it would be acceptable to the court, said law professor Richard Popp of University of Connecticut. Online retailers have been able to avoid sales tax because of a 1992 Supreme Court decision, Quill Corp versus North Carolina. The ruling, which sided with Quill, meant that a taxpayer must have a physical presence in the state in order to require collection of sales tax for purchases made in-state customers. In 2013, the state revenue department was able to collect sales tax from the leading online retailer Amazon when they opened up an office in Cambridge and acquired local robotics firm Kiva Systems, creating a physical presence within the state. So a little more money out of our pockets if you live here in Massachusetts and you're planning to shop online to out-of-state retailers. It's just like going to New Hampshire and skirting the sales tax.
You can still do that, kids.
Yes.
You can still shop tax-free in New Hampshire.
That would actually mean that you would have to get in your car and drive yourself there, and the convenience of online shopping will be gone for you. What do we think? Good? Bad? I mean, I do agree that the way that they're using this and in intercepting your cookies and where your location is, legality kind of skirts the line slightly.
Once upon a time, I would have railed against this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a time when the majority of commerce in the United States took place at brick and mortar retailers and not online. And that's exactly what's been happening. Amazon is gobbling up a bigger and bigger and bigger share of all consumer purchases in the United States. go to a shopping mall around here, go to a main street around here, you're going to see empty storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
These two things are connected.
It's ironic, though, that you know, this article that I originally pulled this story from mentioned Amazon, and you say Amazon, because this is an online company that was taking away from, as you said, these brick and mortar. But then you look in Linfield, in Market Square, there's a brand new Amazon bookstore.
Sure.
That just opened up. The company that's trying to take out a Barnes & Noble and Borders Books are now opening their own bookstore. And if I did walk by it, I had somebody explain to me kind of what it was all about last night in a conversation. And so basically, it's the visual of a front cover of a book, and you download it in your device and you have it there. So I don't really know the kind of incentive to go there, where you can just get it online. Maybe it's being in a bookstore bringing you the sensation.
Some people
of,
want books now. Mm-hmm. They don't want to wait 3 days for books. They don't want to read the ebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking for things
they're not
like
actually selling bookstores and the Amazon bookstore.
Well, no, they're selling Kindles and Echoes and that kind of stuff. But if you're actually, you know, if you've ever tried to repair a vehicle using an ebook, you know that it's impossible because you're fumbling with the device. You can't see the schematics. It's We still need print books for certain things. They have their place.
So if this goes, I mean, this is just in Massachusetts. I want to say it's only around in a couple different states. Could this be federal law?
Well, we don't want the feds getting involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that later tonight because, yeah, there's an issue there. But what's happening on the ground right now is that commerce used to be local. It used to be you went to the mall, you went to the shopping center.
Of course.
You went to the supermarket and you bought stuff. And when you bought stuff in Massachusetts, Massachusetts collected sales tax. Everybody goes home happy. When the internet was small and it was just a tiny percentage of sales, states weren't losing a lot of tax revenue. It's not small anymore,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's about 40% of the U.S. economy right now, which means states are losing 40% of their revenue. States are completely entitled to find a way to recapture that revenue.
No, and then absolutely, I agree with you. But, you know, and we'll mention it come July when we have our bash against not legalizing fireworks here in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And that is actually money for taxes.
Hey, Massachusetts want to make some money on stuff they don't ship online.
No, but I do absolutely agree with you. You know what? It's a good and bad that you get with technology.
Yeah.
Essentially, what happens now, I mean, look at something as basic as going to Dunkin' Donuts. Now you just have an app on your phone. There's no exchanging even, I mean, cash is so foreign. And I pull out cash at a store and people look at me like I have five heads, don't know how to count anything or create any sort of change.
Maybe in kooky millennial world, cash is foreign, but some of us know that cash works when your Wi-Fi signal doesn't.
Yeah. But, you know, even a credit card. Now the next step is these apps that people are using, whether it's Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, or any of these larger retails that do have the apps and you just plug in your phone.
Great, as long as you got battery power and signal.
Of course.
Cash requires neither of those things.
What's the number one thing you said about technology and how much stores rely on it? Something is like a Walmart in the Midwest where that is the only store for supplies and food. If technology goes down, then there is no purchase of goods.
Correct.
And we rely far too much on technology.
And then the food riots begin.
But this is what it is. And it's not a generational thing. I think we've all become so prone to want to online shopping and understanding how much more difficult it is around the holidays and looking for a parking space around, you know, your shopping mall. But I do agree with you in the sense of Massachusetts has a right to gain back this revenue.
Yeah.
But again, it may or may not be legal on how they're doing it.
I
mean, they're going to figure out how to do it legally.
If it's...
Because when you have a law on the books, there's really no going around it.
Yeah, but that law was written... this may require federal action to fully enable the states to do what they want to do. When that law was on the books, when it was written in the 1990s, e-commerce was
non-existent.
A twinkle in Jeffrey Bezos' eye.
Of course.
You know, it was primitive. Like, you could buy a few things online. Nobody liked paying for shipping. It was crazy. And there wasn't a lot of it. Now it's an accepted part of everyday life. You know, people buy everything online. Mm-hmm. And they're buying tires and televisions online. They're buying their computers online. All your books, you're buying online now. So all of that money that would have gone to the state is now going to Jeffrey Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Or Walmart, or whoever it is that you're buying with. Which means that the state is aggressively losing revenue.
No, and it's another way that companies, though, are boosting up their, whether it be technology, boosting up their advertising to make you want to online shop, to make it more attractive for you. Because essentially the bottom line is they're making more money off of it, whether we're talking about sales tax or just in the actual price for the product.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to a question of convenience and selection. Because
and of
I
course
can,
people are going to choose convenience. Well, at least in this society and day and age.
But nothing is ever sold out online. Or if it is, you absolutely can't get it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I can half the stores that you walk into, they don't have what you want. I went into Best Buy the other day to try and look at televisions because I think I need one. Like the plasma has developed a fault, which is very unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
So I may need to go buy a TV. I walk into Best Buy. They got these TVs up. The information that is posted near the TVs is wrong. And I can tell that it's wrong. And it doesn't match up with anything. And there's a bunch of guys hovering around like, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? And it's like, no, you can't. Because I don't need your high-pressure sales pitch. I just want to know what the hell you guys have and what it costs.
Yeah, but you have the same mentality like I do. I would prefer to have the visual aspect of it and see it. But a lot of people just don't want to deal with it.
I'm not buying a TV unless I look at the picture.
They're able to look online and say, you know what, that's satisfying enough for me.
There are certain segments that are immune to this, like clothing, they're still having a tough time with because people like to try stuff on and see how it's going to look. Mm-hmm. Everybody's body is different. That's why there are changing rooms in every clothing store. But every other segment, everything from, you know, pet food to car parts, is losing ground to the internet.
It's true.
So if all that money is flowing out of the state and the state isn't getting any taxes on it, then the state's tax collection is down.
So what are we talking about? They're saying
and
for
they can do
per
what?
Year, $30 million.
And they can do one of two things. They can either raise it's going to be more than $30 million, I'll tell you that. They can either raise property taxes, which screws everybody, or they can find a way to collect the state sales tax off of the internet. Now, one of the reasons, it may only be $30 million, and one of the reasons for that is because Amazon has a physical presence here.
Mm-hmm.
They got a big warehouse over in Everett, and they've got the bookstore.
No, essentially, once you have one property or acquires some sort of business that has your name attached to it, you say, okay, well, we might as well start building more because we're not going to be able to get, and with Amazon being the number one online retailer, there's a good chunk of cash right there.
Right. So we're collecting from Amazon, but we're not collecting from anybody else.
I'm curious to wonder how many millions of dollars Massachusetts alone spends on Amazon each year.
I'm sure Amazon...
If you were to guess.
I'm sure Amazon could tell you that, but they won't.
Of course.
And I'm sure you would...
We're not taking out the brick and mortar stores.
I'm sure that you would find that it is many, many, many millions of dollars because I see Amazon boxes flying around this state all the time. Every UPS truck that you see, every FedEx truck that you see, every U.S. Postal Service truck that you see, they're all full of Amazon boxes.
Oh, forget it. I mean, talk about Christmas time. Majority of my friends do not go shopping. Every single one of their gifts is bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's sad, but true.
Because who wants to go to the mall and deal with those crowds? Which, by the way, is mostly middle-aged men wandering around befuddled, trying to figure out, because it's their one time a year when they go to the mall, and they're like, what is happening
here? My level
here?
Of anxiety and blood pressure can't take the holidays around it. You go on the off time. That's the smartest.
In national news, President Donald Trump surprised even his own White House staff with his decision to fire FBI Director James Comey yesterday. Two unnamed sources in the White House claim that Trump asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Deputy Attorney Rod Rosenstein for a pretext to fire Comey. The sources said that Trump was furious at ongoing coverage of alleged ties between his campaign and Russia, and that he would yell at the TV when stories about Russian campaign meddling were broadcast. The New York Times reported today that Comey had asked Rosenstein for more resources to investigate the Russian link days before he was fired.
It gets juicier and juicier.
Now, the optics on this are bad enough, okay? Firing the FBI director because he won't shut up about Russia is what mm-hmm. whether that is
now mind
what
you,
happened
this
or
is
not,
only the
that's
second
what
time
it looks like.
In U.S. history. Generally, they say what FBI directors should stay just based on having bipartisan about 10 years.
Well, he should have been chucked out on January 20th. You're going to throw him up, you know.
But Comey is what, only 4 years into it, was only 4 years into his tenure.
Yeah.
Yeah. This story just keeps unfolding and unfolding.
The optics on this are bad to begin with because it looks like Donald Trump is firing this guy to stop the investigation. That's what all the Democrats are saying. To make matters worse, here comes Henry Kissinger waddling into the White House today.
Now, if anybody knows who that is,
Richard
that
Nixon's
would be
Secretary of State, a little bit of old time, you know, DC politics.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah.
And then you, everybody's been hearing the word Watergate once again being reintroduced into mainstream media.
And then no sooner is Henry Kissinger out the door than here comes Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov.
Yep.
You've got to admire the audacity of the Trump administration. If nothing else, mm-hmm. this is a president who gives zero insert obscenity of your choice about the optics. He just doesn't care. Okay? Yeah, I'm going to have Kissinger come in. I'm going to sit down and talk to the Russians. You guys say whatever you want to say. A seasoned politician
would know better.
A seasoned politician would have an entire attack plan before James Comey was fired. They'd have the talking points worked out. They'd have everybody lined up to go out on the news shows. And basically, they would say something along the lines of, Comey had become a rogue actor. He was obsessive about this Russia thing. He was not putting time into other important investigations. He was asking for resources that we have denied him because we don't think it's in the public interest. We don't think there is anything more that he needs to investigate these alleged election rigging charges.
How has the White House not found you yet?
They don't care.
Of course they don't.
Donald Trump lives in a world where this guy's not doing what I want him to do. Boom, you're out of here. You're gone.
Again,
two in the back of the head.
Once again, we say one flaw of the Trump administration is, again, he is not running it like a typical president, like a typical seasoned politician.
Because
he's
not.
And again, exactly, he is running it like a business, whereas you don't have normally the public eye watching who is coming in and out of your office, inside and outside of the deal room. You have every eye in the country watching you. You have the scrutiny of mainstream media. So no matter what you do, and they need the smallest bit of ammo to be used against you. The Democrats need the smallest bit of ammo.
I don't know that the scrutiny of mainstream media matters that much anymore because people are turning it off in record numbers. They're
to a point.
Their viewership is down.
But to a point. But unfortunately, what you still have, and unfortunately, the time that we live in the society, people are still using, sadly, Facebook as some sort of reliable news source of information. And you have these screaming children on the internet.
Yes.
And it's the ones that hide behind the, you know, keyboards and say whatever they want without any sort of information, or so incredibly uninformed public.
But you know what? I'm with Trump. I don't care what the great uninformed internet population has to say.
No, of course. We've always had that attitude on this show. But you have to point out, as you just did, the optics are bad. There's one way that is, I guess you could say, the proper way to do it, or maybe the less scrutinized way to do it, because no matter what he does, it's always going to be looked or condemned on for the most part. And then there's the way that he does it without thinking so much, without having any consideration for what's going on outside.
But here's the thing, and this is where this gets interesting, because as I said, an experienced politician would have the talking points and the talking heads and everybody rolling out ready to reinforce the White House narrative that Comey was a rogue actor. Comey was out of control on this Russia thing. We got three investigations going on. The House is investigating, the Senate's investigating, the Justice Department's investigating. He walks in looking for more money and more people, and we said enough. We've had enough of this. Goodbye, James Comey. He doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Trump doesn't do that. Trump says he was doing a bad job, so I fired him. And nothing else. And the media is apoplectic. They don't know what to do with this. Because they're used to politicians who spend all day talking to them and defending their decisions and saying, no, 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 it's this, and trying to shift the narrative. Trump just says, yeah, it is what it is, and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did throughout his campaign, by the way. Other than promising that he was going to win and make America great again and offering nothing to back up anything that he said, he just make these statements and walk away, and he won. And guess what? He's doing it again now. Because when it comes to the media cycle, Donald Trump is way smarter than anyone at CNN, anyone at the New York Times, anyone at MSNBC, anyone at ABC, CBS, any of these outlets. Because he understands, he gets that commentary from him keeps the story alive.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the media to take a hike, Sean Spicer telling people to turn the lights off, makes the story go away.
It's true.
So they're all sitting around screaming and yelling at each other, basically providing one side. Trump says nothing, and they look like a bunch of idiots.
Mm-hmm. Now,
because the silence basically says there's nothing more here. And they're going to try and paint it as evasion, and, you know, he's interrupting the investigation, on and on and on. Look.
No, of course, because if you listen to 5 minutes of any of those stations that you heard, and the only one that actually was not talking about it in that sense was Fox News.
Of course.
And it was funny because Fox News was then showing the clips from every other single mainstream media outlet, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and everybody had the same dialogue.
Did they have a Chiron up on the screen that said media freak out?
Yeah, it was something like that. You know, leftist, crazed.
Yeah. Trump derangement syndrome strikes left again. You know?
Now,
yeah.
What are your feelings on the bringing up that Comey was looking for more money or more resources? Is this just like a, grasping at the straw kind of thing?
There is fire behind that smoke. Mm-hmm. And that may be the straw that broke the camel's back, because the FBI investigation was the only one that had any actual weight or momentum behind it. And Comey, and clearly Donald Trump is sick of hearing about Russia. I'm sick of hearing about Russia, okay? Because if you honestly believe the left's narrative that Russia stole the election or Russia influenced the election, then you believe the American people are a bunch of idiots who can't make up their own minds. That, by the way, is what Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the people on the left believe. They believe that they are so perfect and so above reproach that for them to lose the election, something had to go wrong.
Which is
Vladimir Putin said the exact same thing to one of CBS reporters in an exclusive interview today, just before scoring seven goals in a hockey game.
Right.
Can the Bruins hire this guy?
But it's crazy. I mean, you make a perfect point. We have this narrative that is trying to be shoved down our throats that, again, Russia bad, Russia bad. We don't want to work with Russia. Russia has been meddling in our elections from the beginning, and that has never been proven. With all these allegations and investigations going on, there is very minimal that has been proven. But you know the one thing that has been proven? What was going on in the emails, whether it be between Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whether it be between Hillary Clinton, or all of the people within her campaign that were written out, typed, sent, and leaked. It doesn't matter how they got there. It matters the words that were said.
Yes,
and what
it does.
Were said was that the American people are dumb enough. They're stupid to realize what is going on, and we are going to win. And when you have that attitude, you don't win.
Keep in mind, what did Hillary Clinton...
But still, that's a perfect gift boxed present that Republicans could have used for it. But unfortunately, some Americans are so in their bubble of the greatness that Hillary Clinton was, or so anti-Trump, that you can't see the extreme obvious.
What did Hillary Clinton cite as reasons for losing last week?
Misogyny.
And the Russians.
And James Comey.
Yeah, misogyny, James Comey, and the Russians.
That is delusion.
It's complete delusion.
Whether you are pro or anti-Trump, you can't deny facts.
How about
and you can't deny those were made up. It was... they're real. WikiLeaks posted that.
A 25-year national legacy of corruption and lying didn't have anything to do with Hillary Clinton losing the election. Okay? It was misogyny, James Comey, and the Russians. Mm-hmm. This stuff enrages me because it belittles the American people. And it makes the American people sound like a bunch of mindless idiots who somebody waves a bunch of propaganda in their faces and they flop all over it. And they say, oh, Hillary Clinton bad, Hillary Clinton evil. I read a fake news story on the internet, and now I can't vote for her.
No, of course.
You go find me one person. One person. I defy you. 855-915-9636. You go find me one person that didn't vote for Hillary Clinton because of something that a Russian posted or something that some teenager running a fake news site in Macedonia posted. One person.
No, it's true. And that's
who do you know?
Mainstream media is trying to say, and this is what they bring up today and talking about, well, maybe, yes, it was James Comey, because during the interviews with Comey, he said that we are not going to pursue an investigation. Oh, and then just a week before, he was like, you know what? Maybe we do have some evidence. So maybe we need to do a further investigation, which apparently completely changed millions, may I say, millions of Americans' minds all of a sudden. You mean all of that stuff that had been going through the entire election cycle, that didn't change anybody's mind? That were actually facts? No. That didn't. James Comey coming out a few days before the election and saying, oh, actually, maybe there is more evidence. We don't know anything about it, but...
Sorry, I don't buy it.
It's a joke.
I don't buy it because I give
it's
the American people
Derek.
Credit... for having brains in their heads, for being rational thinking creatures. Democrats, particularly the elite Democrats, don't believe that. They believe Americans are a bunch of mindless sheep who will lap up whatever marketing is thrown in front of them. So when you hear this Russia story, understand that your intelligence as an American is being insulted every time somebody brings it up, because that's exactly what they're doing. And you hear the story, you say, well, that wasn't me. The Russians didn't influence me. You're not alone in saying that. There are 46 million odd Americans who are saying that, who voted for Donald Trump. I did not vote for Donald Trump because I didn't think he'd be a good president. Well, I guess I was right about that one. But I am tired of this narrative. And I am tired of the damage that it is doing to our relationship with Russia, which, as I laid out here a few weeks ago, is still vitally important to global stability.
No, Russia bad.
I do admire the way that Donald Trump does these things and then just walks away and says, yeah, you go talk amongst yourselves.
He does a political mic drop.
I'm moving on. Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. Pretty much what
every
it is.
Every week.
Firing James Comey. Thump. What? Wait, what? Where'd he go? We got Kellyanne again. Great.
Oh, boy.
This is WMFO Medford. In world news, South Korea's newly elected president, Moon Jae-in, was sworn in today, days after winning 41% of the vote in a three-way race to replace Park Geun-hye, who was removed from office amid an influence-peddling scandal. Moon, a liberal, is expected to take a more direct approach to reconciling tension with North Korea and Kim Jong-un, and appointed veteran liberal politicians Lee Nak-yeon as prime minister and Soo Hoon as head of national intelligence. Both men were involved in the sunshine policy of engagement when Kim Jong-il was running North Korea. Moon has already been invited to the White House by President Trump, where his opposition to the THAAD missile system deployment in South Korea is likely to be contentious.
Things are heating up over there. You know, Moon has been very vocal about improving the dialogue with Pyongyang and has criticized multiple times former presidents of South Korea on their hardline stance with North Korea. This is a man that is very much into improving the relations and understanding what could happen to the country.
I don't know that he's living in the present day.
If things do go bad. But, you know, even his opponent was very much against creating ties with North Korea, or is sitting at the table and having conversations, and was very much against that and working with Americans. Now you have somebody that is in power that kind of might have a problem with what we're doing to North Korea.
Well, not just him, but I don't know if you've seen the footage or not, but the South Koreans are blocking roads to keep the U.S. from setting up the THAAD missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been throwing stones at our soldiers and spitting at our soldiers because the people feel that having this missile system in your backyard basically paints a big bullseye on you for when North Korea starts launching the missiles.
Of course. This is a, you know, kind of last-ditch effort to save your country and save your people. And I, from what I can understand, this new leader is basically weighing out the options and is taking the lives of all the citizens in that country above global interests.
Well,
which is not going to help what is happening. I feel like North Korea is so completely on its own. And you pointed it out perfectly last week when you start having conversations that are going on between the countries. And what was the word that you used? Reckless. And when countries start throwing that around, whether it be China, the United States, then once North Korea starts using that word, reckless, you start having tensions.
Apparently everybody took China's advice and stopped irritating each other, because yes. I haven't heard the
that
word
was one
reckless.
Of the last conversations that was going out.
That was last Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. After North Korea called China reckless, China said, please, everyone, stop irritating each other.
Mm-hmm.
There is some question as to, you know, whether or not Kim Jong-un was taking advantage of the transition in Washington and the instability in South Korea to sort of stir up the hornet's nest a little bit. Then there's just sort of the ongoing shenanigans that come out of North Korea. Now, Moon is in a position to reset that relationship, but he needs to understand that he's not dealing with Kim Il-sung anymore. He's dealing with Kim Jong-un. And Kim Jong-un is, at best, mysterious.
Barely moves.
And at worst, as erratic as Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if going back to a policy that worked under Kim Il-sung is going to work in this situation.
Of course. It's a completely different game. It's a completely different political landscape of what you're dealing with now. It's the same thing here in the United States. What we're seeing here policy-wise is completely different because this is the Trump administration. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is reckless with the citizens in the country. Other people's opinion may differ from that as Kim Jong-un, because essentially what you have is Kim Jong-un, him, North Korea, against the entire world.
Yeah. Well, one thing to keep in mind,
in the position right now, and for some reason, because of this, again, I say last-ditch effort, I would assume to save country, South Korea is saying, we're connected. We're the only people connected to you. We're together. It's not like you're going to all of a sudden eliminate that actual literal line that is separating the countries, that nobody goes in and out. You essentially have both countries have all their soldiers lined up. They just stare at each other. It's like a face-off.
But the problem that you have here is that South Korea has zero leverage over North Korea. South Korea has nothing that North Korea wants. The only thing that Kim Jong-un really wants is not to be killed by his generals.
Yeah, so South Korea is the, I know you're bad for me, but I still keep coming back to you.
And the only thing that the generals want is a continued state of warfare between North Korea and the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because that keeps them in power.
And it's never going to change.
So unless you do something to destabilize that power structure, it's not a situation where South Korea is going to open its arms and say, look, we have democracy and Blu-rays, mm-hmm. and North Korea is going to be like, we want Blu-rays. Yes, send us Blu-rays and we'll all get along. No, that's not what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, North Korea, in a very real sense, it's been described this way by others, by foreign policy analysts and international observers, is a death cult. It is an apocalyptic cult with Kim Jong-un as its head and a bunch of very dangerous deputies who would love to be the ones calling the shots. And the North Korean people are sort of trapped in this.
Of course.
You know, where if you don't worship Kim Jong-un appropriately, they take you off to the labor camp, or worse, they take you out back and shoot you.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was an interesting topic when we brought up last week John Kasich being vocal about
regime change, yeah.
Only way that this can be resolved in a proper fashion without having massive death toll is to have, like you said, regime change. You need South Korea on board.
I'll tell you right now, when the war happens, it's going to be quick. North Korea will be an uninhabitable wasteland for a while afterward. And the only question is how many innocent people will die in missiles that North Korea manages to launch.
And how far will it go into South Korea?
Before Pyongyang is wiped off the face of the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This will be a 30-minute war. And there will be nobody in the North left to fight by the time we're done bombing them.
I wonder if North Korea steps out of their insanity for 2 minutes and understands that that could be the fate of their country and that they would be more likely to have some sort of conversation with South Korea.
I think on some level...
Saying like, well, you know what, maybe if we have one more behind our back.
I think on some level at this point they have to know. And I think they've known for a number of years.
I mean, that's reality.
And
you can only bark so loud before...
Sooner or later, somebody's going to call your bluff, mm-hmm. or you're going to follow through.
And unfortunately, by calling a bluff, it's sending missiles.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a question of when at this point. And honestly, I'm not optimistic that South Korea could do anything except possibly buy more time so that maybe Kim Jong-un dies of natural causes. But those are your only outcomes here, is... You put them off long enough for Kim Jong-un to live a long or short life and die of natural causes, or somebody finally screws up and pushes the wrong button, and then the missiles are flying everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your two outcomes. There is no third way with North Korea right now.
Well, in sports news, Fenway Park will have one less fan attending some of its games. One day after, Baltimore Orioles outfielder Adam Jones was subject to racist insults from a fan at Fenway Park, the Red Sox permanently banned a fan for using a racial slur during a separate incident at Tuesday night's game. The slur was reported by a man named Calvin Hennick, who was at the game and his son and father-in-law. According to Hennick, a middle-aged man in a Red Sox hat and t-shirt leaned over to him, made a racist remark about the woman, a Kenyan, who had just performed the national anthem. One day after, Orioles outfielder Adam Jones was subject to racist insults from a fan at Fenway Park, the Red Sox permanently banned a fan for using a racial slur during a separate incident. Again. Hendrick notified the usher, who took action to remove the man from the stadium. On Wednesday, Red Sox president Sam Kennedy entered the press box and told reporters about the incident, adding to the fan who used the slur had been banned from Fenway Park for life. Quote, I am here to send a message loud and clear that the treatment of others that you've been reading about here lately is unacceptable. So you questioned last week, would there be anybody... That would say something in a situation like that.
More to the point, last week I said the city of Boston is racist. The Boston yes. Red Sox are racist. Everybody involved in this thing is racist.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the guy that actually got up off his ass when he heard a racial slur and went and told security. That guy is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of that guy. And more people should be. What's his name?
It's
at the top of your article.
That is Calvin Hennick.
Calvin Hennick did the right thing.
Son and father-in-law.
We need more Calvin Hennicks. Yeah. Calvin Hennick's father-in-law is black, I believe.
It is.
Yeah.
And his son is biracial.
Yeah. So we need more Calvin Hennicks. I hope Calvin Hennick. You know what?
I hope Calvin Hennick
got free tickets.
I argued,
from the Boston Red Sox.
I argued with you last week in saying that no, not everybody. Not everybody in Boston is racist.
Do you sit by and let it happen?
Here's the thing.
Do you sit by and let it happen?
I've never heard it. Are there people... I honestly say, out of my... Regardless if we're talking about hockey, basketball, football. I mean, you've been to far more Patriots games, but how many countless hundreds of Red Sox games I've been to. I've never heard that. I've heard people swearing.
Oh, sure.
Saying bad things, but never something racist or that I would consider racist. And I mean, I'm a pretty good judge.
People go to the baseball park to swear.
What that is. And, you know, not that I give any sort of defense of what happened, but I can understand that a lot of people don't say something because when alcohol is involved, they don't know what the other person's going to do.
That's why you go and you get security.
And again, what I said to you last week
is a racist.
We don't know if it's a situation where you have a 19-year-old usher that just doesn't care, that doesn't want to get involved.
Then you go find somebody else.
So not only do we
have security guard.
So not only do we have a problem with fans, we might have a problem with ushers. We might have, but it's so convenient though. The next day this happened.
Well,
and somebody got a bang.
Listen, the Red Sox are looking for a good PR spin on this.
And that's what
obviously,
it was.
Because the fact that Boston is a racist city has made national headlines again. As it should, because Boston is a racist city. Full of racists and people who do nothing when they hear racist language. I am not one of those people, by the way. I will and have called out people for using racist language.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to take a poke at me for calling somebody out, I'm pretty sure there are two or three other people who are going to get my back in that situation before I get my ass kicked.
No, absolutely. But it is. It's shameless that okay. This even had to happen. It's shameless that this is what is looked at by athletes coming to Boston and knowing that, hey, I might have peanuts thrown at me. Not just that, but I'm going to have racist comments or I'm going to have some sort of derogatory comment said to me.
Hucking stuff at the center fielders is part of the game. Okay,
no, it's not.
Yes,
grow
it
up.
Is. Yes,
grow
it is.
Up.
Yes, it is. Have you ever been to Philadelphia? They're lucky they're not hucking batteries at Fenway Park, all right? They used to do that. They don't let them huck the batteries anymore. Here's the thing, all right? Boston is a city of racists. You're all a bunch of racists. But I'll give you an out, because I know the majority of people in Boston are not racists in their hearts. But you're racist in your actions when you sit by and let other people get away with this stuff. All it takes is one person to stand up.
No, and it's
sad. And if you have the guts to be the one person to stand up to that, you're going to find out that there are dozens of people willing to back you
mm-hmm.
up.
No, it's sad that a lot of people don't have that mentality.
Okay.
And
it's because nobody wants to be first. Everybody wants to sit back in the herd and be okay and let it be somebody else's problem.
It's just like anything. That's, speaking outside of the group for many people is unheard of or is scary.
But we're not talking. We're not talking about
what you believe in your heart and what you know is right and wrong.
That's the thing. We're not talking about whether or not Elizabeth Warren is an idiot or a fake Native American. We're talking about racism, okay? And racism has no place in our public life. Certainly has no place in a private establishment where people bring their families to enjoy baseball without hearing the N-word flying around all mm-hmm. night long. All it takes is for somebody to be that one person to stand up, and there is change. And let me tell you, the reason this behavior went on within Fenway Park for as many years as it did, and we're talking over 100, is because the fans never make a big deal out of it. It's because the fans never say, "Yo, listen, I can't have this guy yelling these words next to my kid all night long." Mm-hmm.
And again, this isn't the first time that it's happened.
We've had multiple players. I didn't come here to hear that.
Not that we accept it, but yes, this has been a situation at Fenway before.
So the Red Sox get to sit back and say, racism? What racism? We didn't know there was any racism. Of course you did. You knew damn well that there was. But when the fans start making noise about it,
then
when the
policies
fans
change, then there's more heightened attention for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And it's sad that it gets like that.
And listen, I am the last person to tell you to go rat on your neighbor. Okay? I don't think you should rat on your neighbor. I don't think you should shout people down who disagree with you. But when it comes to racism, when it comes to some bigot standing in a football stadium or a baseball stadium, it doesn't happen in hockey games often. mostly because it's all white people there. Say something. There is no place. You want to go be a racist on the internet and cower behind your keyboard and say all that stuff, fine. You want to put up Stormfront flags in your house, fly a Nazi flag in your front yard. Hey, it's your private property. Do what you want. When the neighbors start throwing eggs at your house, you know you've only got yourself to blame. When you go out into a public space where there are families, where there are people who are just trying to get along and have a good time, maybe drink too many beers and hope they don't get punched out, can it. And if you don't can it, you're gone.
Well, today in food news, we learned more problems for rich people. Surgeons say a growing number of amateur chefs are reporting accidents and emergency room visits with what they call avocado hand, serious stab and slash injuries that result in failed attempts to penetrate the fruit's hard outer casing with a sharpened knife before encountering a resistant inner stone. The British Association of Plastic Reconstructive and Aesthetic Surgeons is calling for safety labels on the fruit to staunch the flow of injured patients to hospitals. This is hilarious. Let me go on.
I can't take it.
Many cases involve serious nerve and tendon injuries, requiring intricate surgeries, and even having some patients never fully recover from using their hand. Simon Eckley, Secretary of the Association for Former President of the Plastic Surgery Section of the Royal Society of Medicine, said, quote, people do not anticipate that avocados that they buy may be very ripe and there is minimal understanding on how to handle them. We don't want people to put off using the fruit, but I think warning labels are an effective way with dealing with it. It needs to be reconsidered. Perhaps we have a cartoon picture of an avocado with a knife and a big red cross going through it, end quote. That's their solution, to have a cartoon now on your Mexican Haas avocados. Apparently, this is a problem. And this is just one study from London, and I did look up. There are a lot of emergency room visits based on this. Like, this is crazy.
How many years has mankind been eating avocados?
So many years.
Okay. Do we know what the median age of the people admitted to the hospital for avocado-related injuries is?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's in the millennial generation.
Yeah. Stupid millennials can't cut fruit. That's what the headline should be.
No, because
Stupid millennials can't cut fruit.
Think about the average American diet. And what we've seen for what we consider, you know, throughout the years. Avocado really wasn't a strong presence up until maybe the last half decade.
California it was.
Well, no. I'm saying here, let's just look at here in New England.
Arizona, New Mexico.
I know. But now you are getting to a point where, and this is also because it is pushed by social media, especially Instagram, people taking pictures of brunches, people taking... It's a huge flow of what is going on.
Avocado is a wonderful fruit.
Media and in America. It's used a lot in these new things.
Because
there is such a focus to be more health conscious nationwide.
But
you're making a point.
Can
just
I tell
California
you something?
And Arizona and Texas.
Can I tell you something? And even apart from that, my generation understood what the avocado was. Okay? We were familiar with guacamole. The millennials did not discover the avocado.
Really?
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that your mother went to the grocery store every single week and avocados were on her grocery list.
Not in my house in particular because we didn't eat Mexican food. But yes, you could buy avocados.
You would never see. Growing up, and I was, two generations after you, you hardly saw, regardless if you were making Mexican food or not, you had the ground beef, you had sour cream and salsa.
Yeah.
That was about it.
No, because this
Within the last half generation, avocados have become a mainstream nationwide because we have introduced more ethnic cuisines into our diets and avocado being a healthy fat. It's a fad food.
It's
a fad food that has lasted a long time. People use it for more.
Set your experience aside because you grew up in New England and we have five foods in New England. Okay.
Okay. So if you ask 10 people from across the country.
The five foods that we have in New England are roast beef, clams, boiled potatoes, lobster, and baked beans. That's what we have. Those are the five food groups that we have.
I was at a friend's house, we would never have those things. Just because you were saying the staples of New England.
That's it.
And what
that's
we
what we eat.
No,
we eat bland, flavorless things.
No, it's
and
not.
Lobster.
Ask 10 people from across the country if they grew up having avocados in their household. Yes, maybe you might have one from California or New Mexico.
The avocado has been a staple of the vegan diet for decades.
Vegan hasn't really even become known or a fad.
Yes, it has.
Oh, which I'm not
denying.
Guess
what? We had vegans back in the 80s.
Of course.
We had vegans in the 70s.
Same thing you had.
And you know what they were eating? Avocados.
You had vegetarians, you had every number of the different diets, but the avocado has become a staple, so more people are using it. So of course they have a story like this saying, because it is such a fad fruit, there are more injuries for it.
No.
It's laughable. No, it is.
That's not the problem.
No, it is.
The problem is millennials. Millennials can't cut fruit.
It's not just millennials.
It is millennials.
It's going to be a majority. No, it's a majority of them.
I want to see the study.
Because unfortunately, millennials are more susceptible to jumping on the bandwagon.
I guarantee you, 90% of the people admitted to the hospital because they can't cut fruit are millennials. The other 10% are either drunk or high.
Trying to make that homemade guac on
those are the people who can't cut a freaking avocado.
The reality, though, is in my generation and just people that surround me on a day-to-day basis, which mostly are millennials, I have people that are vegan for 1 week, just eat seafood for 1 week. It bounces around. So you can't deny that there is an influx of this because it is part of a fad diet. It's part of this generation picking and choosing what they think is.
And who's cool. On board with the fad? Oh, it's the millennials again.
Which I am not denying.
You can't cut fruit. Look, if you can't cut the fruit without going to the hospital, you can't eat it. It's
if
that
anything,
simple.
This is hilarious.
Okay.
Just, you know what? You can YouTube anything. Just go on YouTube.
You know I could take apart a lobster with my bare hands?
I can too. I could probably do it faster than you.
You probably will. You got smaller hands than I do, so you can get in there.
I can take my fingers.
You know, I've got to rely on the brute strength. I can muscle through thick shell faster than you can.
No, it's not true.
Yeah. Is this a challenge?
Yeah, I am. I actually, at my uncle's fishing game club in Middleton, one time, this very large man tried to challenge me. In time, I opened 6, I believe, in the time that he did 3. And I'm talking about at the beginning of summer when they still have hard shells, not the end of the summer.
We're going to eviscerate some lobster? Is this what we're talking about here?
We're doing it. Well, why don't you invite me over and we'll have a...
Let's start with avocado cutting.
I'll make the guac. I'm real good at it.
After you go to the hospital and tear your hand open, you won't be able to open any lobster.
I have a fantastic guac recipe that you'll have to try.
Here's some advice for you millennials out there. It's called the Ginsu knife. It cuts through tin cans. Get that, okay? This is something we had in the 80s. It will cut through a car if you need it to, okay? Go get yourself a Ginsu. Quit lopping your fingers off trying to cut open a fruit. My God, I don't know how you're still alive. I honestly don't. In technology news, the broadcasting consolidation race is on. Tribune Entertainment accepted a $3.9 billion offer from Sinclair Broadcast Group that will provide Sinclair with stations in New York, Chicago, and Miami. Sinclair beat out Nexstar and Fox and will give Sinclair control of 28% of Fox affiliates in the United States, giving them more leverage over affiliate fees and carriage rates. This is the first announced merger under the new FCC rules that allow owners to count only half of their coverage area for UHF stations, known as the UHF discount. The FCC caps station ownership at 39% of all nationwide service. The Sinclair Tribune deal would create a single group reaching 42% of the country, and Tribune may be forced to shed some of the 215 stations it will own as a condition of completing the deal.
Now, here's what's interesting about this. And when I read first when this broke, my first reaction was to what you brought up last week in talking about Fox News and how many kind of moving positions you have right now, and that there is a space for a station to open up that can combat with Fox News. With this, could you see maybe them backing that sort of station. There is an open for that.
No, what they're actually doing with this is they are trying to consolidate broadcast ownership so that they can control the affiliate fees that they're charged by Fox, and so they can negotiate better local carriage rates, not necessarily with your cable providers, but with all of the new streaming services that are coming up. Cable television, for those of you who are not paying attention, is in its death throes. Cable television, as we know it, will cease to be in about 30 years. Cord cutting is doing it in. Take a look at ESPN's stock report today if you have any doubt about that.
And why they just fired 200 people.
Cord cutting is happening at a massive scale, faster than anybody predicted it would. And what that is doing is it's making broadcast television viable again. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of cord cutters are now going out and they're getting antennas so they can get local stations. For the last 40-odd years, cable television carriage fees have been the lifeblood of a lot of television stations. Those are drying up. And every so often we hear another one of these, the Weather Channel is gone from DirecTV, or you can't get CBS on Dish Network.
You're never going to know what the weather is anymore.
Or Cox Cable. Because they're arguing over how much they're going to get paid. The networks and the affiliates want to get as much money as possible to keep their revenue up. Cable doesn't have the money to pay anymore because they're losing subscribers. Cable is collapsing under its own weight. And it will take with it the Kardashians and the Real Housewives and all the other reality TV, because the one thing all the streaming services have in common, they don't carry any of those channels because no one wants to pay for them.
Now, would you agree that the only way that cable could survive was if they start doing bundled channels?
No, they're dead. They're done. They've lost. It's over.
You couldn't see an instance where you have the option to pick 10 channels?
It's done. No, because
would you do that?
I would.
Affordable.
I would if it was an option, but I would.
Because think about it. How many channels do you actually watch?
I watch almost everything on Hulu now, actually.
So I'm saying if you did watch cable, the only channels what you watch, BBC.
BBC America, Discovery, and Showtime. Those are the only three I need. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Which Showtime you can get through its own system.
Sure. CNN, yes.
Well, when everybody's news using breaking, everything through mobile now.
But the reality is I can go on YouTube and I can get CBS 24-hour day coverage. I can get ABC 24-hour day coverage. I can fire up my Roku and get that 24-hour day coverage. I don't need cable anymore. And in fact, cable is likely leaving my life in October when the contract is up. Because
what do you currently have, Fios?
Yeah. There are excellent streaming packages available that have Showtime and BBC America. Mm-hmm. That's all I need.
What has that?
PlayStation. PlayStation View, I can get that and CNN and ESPN, which I don't even watch anymore. But they've got a nice little 40-channel package that's like, I think it's $40 a month, if it's even that much, which is way less than I'm paying for cable. So keep the high-speed internet, throw out everything else, problem solved. Wife's losing her mind because she's not going to have any Kardashians or Real Housewives anymore.
Don't knock my housewives.
You know, it's not necessary television is the point I'm going to make about that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not necessary.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Spring, where have you gone? Not anywhere near us. Temperatures are going to be down back into the 30s. In some of those colder spots, keep those tender plants inside, mid-40s in the city. Tomorrow, not much warmer, highs in the low 50s, lows back in the 40s and 30s tomorrow night with some showers moving in. Friday, rain in the morning, high of about 50 degrees, lows in the mid-40s Friday night. Saturday, first part of the day, get out and get the yard work done. Temperature's going to be up around 50 degrees, but Saturday afternoon, the clouds move back in. Saturday night, it starts to rain, lows in the mid-40s, and then on Sunday, rain hopefully gets out of here early in the day, highs in the low 50s, lows in the mid-40s, should dry out and clear up for the second part of Mother's Day. So take mom out for late afternoon meal rather than lunch if you don't want mom to get wet.
going out to eat on Mother's Day.
It's fun.